Can we? I got some handouts in the back there. If we can pass those out, if I can get some ushers to help me pass those out. I spent a long time on those things. I'm not very efficient behind the computer. I want you to see what I did, amen. Now, a couple of disclaimers. I'm laughing here because I really am not as good as people think I am. I think by standard, because I'm Asian, people think I know how to fix viruses and all that stuff, stereotypical type stuff. But I decided to have a handout because I have quite a few verses that I want to read tonight, and I want to make sure that we finish on time. But if you notice when you get that handout, something I'm very proud of. Actually, I see it from here, and I'm overwhelmed with joy. That little black bar that you see at the top there, that took me 10 minutes to do. Okay, and by the way, if you want to know how to do it, I just go to shapes, get a rectangle, fill it in. I don't know the right way to do it, but that's what I did. I printed out a couple of copies without that, and it looked very plain, and I felt like Pastor Mars would not have appreciated that. But with that black bar, everything's all right in my Father's house. And then also, I got so enamored with trying to make this handout, all these disclaimers before the sermon is preached here, you want to listen to this one, I forgot to finish all my blanks. Okay, so just grab your paper during prayer. You can go home. You got the sermon. So anyhow, thankful, really thankful for the opportunity to preach this evening, as I always have the opportunity. Every opportunity that you have, that I have, to study the Word of God, it's a good thing. It really is. And I encourage you, if you don't have a designated time where you study the scriptures, where you go verse by verse, where you look some things up on, you know, different commentaries or even on the internet, which is so valuable now, cross-reference, that'll help you in your spiritual life. I really mean that. And I encourage you to do so. Of course, start with just reading your Bible. That'll be a blessing. But as we approach the new year, 2018, and this is the last midweek Bible study before our new year, I wanted to present a message this evening that I believe would help us if we applied it in our lives. The message this evening is entitled, The Reality of Habits. The Reality of Habits. Please turn your Bibles to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. That's probably the only verse I don't have in your handout. I wanted to turn there together in the Bible. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. By the way, I want my life to be accepted by God. And God is holy, so any life won't do. And God will take us as we are, but we shouldn't stay as we were. That's just a commercial break there. Which is your reasonable service? And be not conformed to this world. Don't resemble the world. Don't embody the things of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And let's pray this evening. Father, thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. It is your word, dear God, your holy word, your powerful word. I ask, dear God, that for the next 30 minutes or so, that this time will not be in vain. I pray, Lord, for every willing heart and willing hear, that a life will be changed. Lord, I appreciate what's going on at winter camp, just some of the good reports that I hear. I pray that you continue to work in their hearts. I'm sure over 100 of our people are up there, but I believe God can do something tonight as well. I pray, dear Lord, that you'll meet with us. Use me, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Our ultimate goal in life should be to fulfill God's will. And by the way, if that isn't your goal, something needs to change. We need to change our mind to make that our goal. We understand that God has a predetermined plan for our lives, specifically drawn up and designed for us. And what I mean by predetermined plan is that before we were formed, God had something in mind. The same way that the person that invented the hammer had something in mind for its use. The same way that somebody that invented the drill had something in mind for that use. The same way that the person that invented the screwdriver had something specific in mind for how that tool should be used. Well, guess what? For Charlie Chim, for you, God has that specific plan. And my desire in life and my goal in life should be to route my life in such a way, should be to read the books and listen to the sermons and make the decisions that will help me fulfill God's perfect design for my life. One of the greatest enemies to God's plan, however, for our lives can be a habit. However, on the flip side of things, one of the greatest assets that will help us reach and fulfill God's will for our lives can also be a habit. What is the reality of habits other than a nifty sermon title? At least I think so. The reality is that we all have them. By the way, we all have habits. Yep. We all have habits. Regardless, or researchers say that 40% of what we do on a daily basis, we do it by habit, and oftentimes it goes unnoticed. What is a habit? A habit is something we do daily without thinking much about it. What are your habits? Maybe some of us have a certain time we wake up every morning, bright and early at 10 a.m., amen? Bright and early, all right? At some ungodly time like 5. By the way, that's ungodly. If it's before 6 o'clock, that's not right. I mean, if you need to use the restroom and go back to bed, I'm okay with that. But man, these people that wake up before 6, how many early risers, like before 6 o'clock? Something's wrong with you, okay? You probably go to bed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Anyways, moving right along here. Maybe some of us have a habit of brushing our teeth a certain way. I'll be honest with you. I don't know why I have to tell you so many things about myself that'll make you look down at me. But before I got married, I brushed my teeth one time a day. Exactly. That's why they're bright and yellow, amen? One time a day. I don't know why. It's just convenient, man. You save on toothbrush. You save on toothpaste. Listen, on a budget. But my wife, she's like, why? Why are you brushing it one time a day? I'll be honest with you. Until lately, until my son, I was ripped by the dentist, I told you my other time I preached, for not flossing. I didn't really floss. I used toothpicks every now and then, but I didn't really floss. Those are bad habits of mine. Maybe some of us have a habit of chewing with our mouth open. How many smackers out there? I know no one wants to admit it. Even though smackers, whatever you call them, they irritate me. I have to admit, because of my nasal congestion problem that plagues me every single day, I can't help it but breathe with, I can't help it but breathe. I can't help it but eat with my mouth open sometimes. The food tastes better when you hear it, amen? Some of us have a habit of biting our fingernails. I've helped to vacuum the church after a service. I've seen the fingernail clippings on the floor. At least put them in the pocket or something like that. Take them home. Some of us have a habit of folding our laundry a certain way. I believe one of my wife's greatest pet peeves of mine is the way that I fold my laundry. I believe that t-shirts don't have to be wrinkle-free. They don't. You don't know what my t-shirt looks like. You don't. Okay? And so I don't have to fold them that neatly. I believe you just flap it over real quick and put it in the drawer. You're going to take it out. You're not going to take it out slow. You're going to take it out fast because you wake up at 10 a.m., amen? You got to get to where you're going. But my wife, she likes to fold it like the store. I feel like, do you work at Kohl's? Do you work at Target? What's going on? Oh, no, not Target. You should. You probably work at Target. Do you work at Costco? Is that why you're folding the clothes that way? I have a habit of putting my clothes in when I hang my clothes. I'm ambidextrous. I use both hands. But when I hang my clothes, my left hand is dominant, so they hang a certain way. And then my wife, her right hand is dominant when she's hanging clothes, so she hangs a certain way. And it clashes. Our habits clash, and it irritates me, actually. I wish she would change. Maybe some of us have a habit of using certain words. Now, hopefully, they're good words. How many of you know maybe your spouse is a word that they always use? I don't know. When I was in high school, the teenagers always joked because I would always say, but. I go, I'd never say that, and then, and I said it. Maybe we have words that we use out of habit. The dictionary defines a habit as an acquired behavior pattern regularly followed until it has become almost involuntary. Another general thought about habits is that they take just about 21 days to form. Habits become such a part of our daily routine that they become who we are. In other words, I am defined by my habits. People know me and people have a mindset about me, an opinion of me based on my habits. And by the way, the same for you. The same for you. What you think of your mom, what you think of your dad, what you think of your spouse, what you think of the person sitting next to you tonight, you think of them largely because of their habits. Their habits. How about it today? How was your 2017? How was my 2017? In reference to our relationship to others, in reference to our relationship to God, in reference to our accomplishments, did we accomplish all that God intended for us, potentially speaking? What habits and patterns did we allow to dictate 2017? I'm not talking about how we brushed our teeth, how we tied our shoes, which leg we put in first when we were wearing our pants. Not talking about that. But maybe how early we woke up so we can get to work on time. How hard we worked at work. How much we valued family time at home. How much we valued wife time. How much we valued husband time. How much we valued time spent with your children. I'm trying to teach my son right now how to ride two wheels. And I have to say, I already knew that I was impatient, but it's doubled now. Of course, neighbors are watching, so I'm constantly praising him. Not because I shouldn't. I praise my child, but you do it a little bit more when neighbors are watching, when you really want to say, why don't you get it? I don't understand. We've been doing this for a while. And then the neighbors come out, oh, that he'll get it. Don't worry. Yeah, you'll do it, buddy. You know, grabbing his neck. No, you'll get it. Come on now. Come on, boy. Where's CJ? He's like, that did not happen today, right? But how much we valued our family time, how much we applied ourselves to our work, to our ministries. What habits did we allow to dictate 2017? And which ones will we carry on to 2018? I'd like to share some insightful thoughts to consider about habits that will help us to have a great new year. Number one, understand the danger of habits. Understand the danger of habits. Habits are dangerous because habits slowly bind us. They slowly bind us. An elderly teacher with a pupil by his side took a walk through a forest. Suddenly he stopped and pointed to four plants close at hand. The first was just beginning to peep above the ground. The second had rooted itself pretty well into the earth. And the third was a small shrub, while the fourth was a full-grown tree. The tutor said to his young companion, pull up the first plant. The boy did so eagerly, using only his fingers. Now pull up the second. The youth obeyed, but found the task more difficult. Do the same with the third, he urged. The boy had to use all his strength to uproot it. Now, said the instructor, try your hand with the fourth tree. The pupil put his arms around the trunk of the tall tree and couldn't even shake its leaves. This, my son, is just what happens with our bad habits. When they are young, we can remove them readily. But when they are old, it is hard to uproot them, though we pray and struggle ever so sincerely. Isn't that true? The little things that we allow in our lives, and we know they're not good. Maybe it's waking up late. Maybe it's the way that we talk. Maybe it's the way that we treat others. Maybe it's the way that we problem solve. We don't nip it in the bud, and before long, even though we think, I'll always have a control over this, I won't let this get out of hand, before long, that little plant of a bad habit turns into a full-grown tree of a bad habit. And no matter how hard we try, we can't shake it. The Bible says in Galatians 5:1, you have it in your notes there, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. By the way, God desires for us to be free. He doesn't want us to be entangled in sin. I don't know about you, but I can look back in my life and see some habits that have kept me in bondage. And I hope nobody under the sound of my voice is living in bondage, because we don't have to. We can be delivered if we want to. Letter B, bad habits are hard to break because habits are things we have allowed ourselves enough time to form the habit in the first place. Bad habits are hard to break because habits are things we have allowed ourselves enough time to do to form the habit in the first place. Someone once said, habits are like comfortable beds, easy to get into, but hard to get out of. I actually returned. I bought a memory foam thing from Costco one time. My wife will remember this. It was like $100, and it was Nova Form. I forgot the brand. It was like 7 inches or 9 inches, and it was very comfortable. We put that on our king bed, laid down, and Brother Perry, it was hard to get out of bed. It was already hard enough, but I took it back to Costco, and the lady goes, what's wrong with it? I said, it's too comfortable. She looked at me. She goes, okay. I'll go ahead and give you your money back. I could not afford to have that comfortable of a bed. You know, the truth of the matter is, it's easy to form bad habits because bad habits are things that our flesh craves, things that naturally, carnally speaking, we desire, we covet, we want in our lives. It could be prideful things. It could be lustful things. It could be sinful things. You ever wonder why it's so easy to eat unhealthy things but hard to eat the healthy stuff? Just naturally speaking, our body is naturally craving and desiring that which is not good for us. James 1:5, the Bible says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. May we understand that those things that we battle on a daily basis, whether if it's lust or sin or temptation, if we don't nip it in the bud, if we don't get God's help to conquer that sin, it is going to turn into sin, I'm sorry, and it will bring forth death into our lives. Letter C, moving quickly here. Bad habits can be contagious. Of course, this is all under the heading, habits are dangerous or can be dangerous. Bad habits can be contagious. I don't know about you, but this has been sick season for my family. Stomach flu, and it seems like one will have it, and then the next person will have it, and then the next person will have it. I've asked God many a times, Lord, can we all just get sick at the same time? That would be a blessing, but it just doesn't happen that way. And I had something lingering for a while, and I thought that I was okay, and my wife actually, she just got over something recently. And it's a horrible time, and I've learned to stay away from people that are sick. It's kind of funny because before I never even thought about it because I didn't get sick that much. And then all of a sudden, after I have a horrible spell of a sickness, you see someone coughing, you're walking the other way. It's kind of funny. The other day, I wasn't feeling good. My mom was in the car with me. And I was just trying to have a meaningful son and mother time. And she's like rolling the window down, sticking her face out the window. I go, sorry about that. I go, Mom, what's going on here? I'm not trying to get sick. We stay away from people that are sick. Why? Because it's contagious. 1 Kings 22:51-52, the Bible says, Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. Bad habits are contagious. Here we see a king that followed after the footsteps of his parents. Next, 2 Kings 15:8-9, the Bible says, in the 38th year of Azariah, king of Judah, did Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, reign over Israel and Samaria 6 months. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his fathers had done. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. We see another verse highlighting that. I don't know about you, but one of the biggest fears that I have is that if I don't nip some bad habits in the bud in my life, if I don't get victory over them, they will be repeated in my children. That's the bottom line. They will be repeated in my children. And my heart breaks as I teach in the school, and sometimes, you know, the students will come and they'll share things with me and ask me for their advice, and they'll mention maybe some things that they have noticed and their parents have talked about as being a generational curse for one generation, whether it's anger and the way that we talk to each other when we're upset and the way that we solve problems or the way that we don't solve problems. And it breaks my heart because you see these kids, they wish that they didn't have that a part of their lives. You see sometimes even the single adults that will come talk to me, I don't know why I find myself resorting to being angry all the time. Well, my dad was the same way and my grandpa was the same way. Let's nip some of these things in the bud so that our children don't have to suffer, amen? Yep. Let's get it right. One situation that I talked to a father and a son, the father came out and pretty much told me, the reason why my son has lust problems, even though this isn't the only reason, is because I have lust problems and I'm not taking care of it. And somewhere down the line, my son, maybe he's seen the way that I glance. Maybe he's seen the way that I looked at women or looked at this or didn't change the channel in quick enough time or wasn't guarding the things that I watched. And as a result, our children watch us. They look at our habits. They look at our habits. And then they take after them. A classic example, Abraham and Isaac. Now, I'm hesitant to use this example because Isaac wasn't born yet at this time. But it's still good here. Both lied about their wives being their sister because they feared for their safety. And by the way, one of the biggest risks in all of this, other than just them lying, is that they put their wives' purity in danger. Think about that. This is my sister, and she was very, both of their wives were very fair. They had a habit of marrying pretty women, amen? And as a result of maybe some of the men showing interest, he said, hey, that's my sister, that's not my wife. I don't want you to try to kill me to get my wife. That's just my sister. They could have taken her. They could have aligned with her, one of them said. What habits do your children see you have that are spreading in their lives? Is it anger? Is it pride? Is it the way you talk? Well, this is just the way that I talk. Well, this is just the way that I am. They're just going to have to accept it. And then their children are going to have to accept the way they are then. Very, very, very unfortunate. Let's take caution to the dangers of bad habits and protect ourselves, our family, and our opportunity at having a great 2018. Not only do we see that the habits can be dangerous, but habits can also be effective in helping us to reach our goals for the Lord. Number two, understand the necessity of good habits in accomplishing worthy goals. I don't know about you, but I like setting goals. And I've learned to set goals coming on staff here, being under Pastor Myers and Pastor Esposito. They have helped me tremendously to develop planners, to set goals so that I can achieve those goals. And there's no greater feeling than setting a goal, creating a plan, working the plan, then fulfilling that goal. Amen. It's a wonderful feeling. I hesitate to use this illustration, but I remember I am nowhere near this weight right now. But when I first got married, I was 130 pounds. Man, I don't wish to go back there though. That was anorexia for me. Okay, 6 foot tall, 128 pounds. That was with boots on. And I remember, man, I'm getting ready to get married here. I'm engaged. Been wearing 4 or 5 t-shirts to look bigger, to fake my future wife out. Man, somewhere down the line, she's going to see it. And by the way, it's okay to be skinny, okay? I wish I was a little skinnier in certain areas. But I remember getting a scale. My mom would laugh at me because I told myself, I am not going to bed until I gain 1 pound for every day. And you may say that's unhealthy, and maybe that's what's wrong with me. I don't know. But I remember, I am not going to bed until I get up to 130. That's just not gonna. I get bread, I drink water by cheating, amen. Of course, that all leaves in the morning time, but whatever I had to do to get 130, and then I got there. 131, I got there. 132, oh, I'm so full right now, I can't drink anymore. You gotta do it, you gotta do it. Here we go. 132, 133, and I got married at 145. I'd never weighed that in my life. I felt like I was a glutton, man. Good night, for crying out loud. I was like, how in the world did I get here? I worked a plan, I had a plan, and I achieved that goal. No greater feeling than being able to achieve your goals. Letter A, develop an appetite for good and godly goals and godly habits. Develop an appetite for good and godly habits. The Bible says in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Righteousness is a habit that we have to develop an appetite for. I don't know about you, but there's some things that I find myself eating now that 5 or 6 years ago, I don't even know. I would have never imagined I would put some of these things in my mouth. Sushi, for example, I remember, I'll eat anything, no, not anything raw, but most sushi, I would eat raw. I remember my mom used to make sushi or have it, raw salmon, and she'd try to give it to me. I'd go, oh, thank you, okay, I'll take more. And I'd take it to the frying pan, amen, put some soy sauce in there, and sesame oil, we'll handle business over there. We'll turn that sushi into a cooked product, right? And then also, medium rare steak. I used to have my steak always well done. Also, fresh veggies. Good night. I used to hate fresh veggies. Now, I don't know of anybody that eats more fresh veggies than I do. Every time at the dinner table, we always have a big old bowl, a tray of fresh lettuce wraps and tomatoes and cucumbers. You know what? I had to develop an appetite for it. Naturally speaking, we crave worldly things. That's why when we're at the supermarket, you hear that music, that different version of Joy to the World that you don't normally hear in church, amen. That different version of O come, Emmanuel, a little like the guy's, he needs air or something like that, right? He's getting a little breathy there. It's like, oh, I kind of like that right there. Okay. Man, I wish my song leader at church can have a little more skill like that. Wow. Maybe I can put that CD in my car and just kind of turn it down when I get into the church there. Naturally, we crave worldly things. Well, guess what? We have to develop an appetite for godly things, for good things. Develop an appetite for good and godly things. Habits. Look at your notes here. Consider these men and women from God's word whose success in life was at least partially a result of forming and following godly habits. I'll go through this quickly. Daniel had a habit of seeking God's face 3 times a day in prayer. Abraham had a habit of seeking God early in the morning before the business of the day's activities. David had a habit of not offering to God that which did not cost him something personally. David had a habit of seeking God in prayer at regular times throughout the day. Paul had a habit of soul winning in the synagogue of each city he visited. The early disciples had a habit of meeting together each Sunday for preaching, fellowship, and giving. Jesus had a habit of rising early in the morning for meditation and prayer. The Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy to study and meditate upon the Word of God daily. The godly woman of Proverbs 31 had many habits that brought God's a praise commendation. She was habitual in the care and provision of her family. What good habits do you have? Now, we talked about the bad habits. What good habits do you have? Letter B, if we want good habits, we must do good things enough times to form them into habits. If we want good habits, we must do good things enough times to form them into good habits. You know, sometimes good works, we don't like to talk about good works because we believe in salvation by grace, amen. Sometimes the world and different sectors of Christianity, watered down versions of Christianity out there, will preach against good works, and we try to stay away from it. Let me say something. Good works is very important for a Christian to have. It's not required for salvation, but it's required for us to live for the fulfilled Christian life. We should implement good works into our lives and good habits into our lives. Galatians 6:9, the Bible says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Keep on doing that good until it becomes a habit. We're going to reap. Ecclesiastes 9:10, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." What goals do you have upcoming for 2018? You want to be a better husband? You want to be a better dad? Do you want to be a better wife, a better mother, a better Christian school teacher, a better principal, a better ministry worker, a better nursery worker, a better bus worker? What goals do you have leading into the new year? Well, we're going to have to put some good works and good habits into those goals, amen, to make sure that they happen. Developing the habit of giving more time in your day to your wife to hear how her day went will help you be a better husband. Developing the habit of praising your husband for the good he does do will help you be a better wife. Developing the habit of giving your mornings to the Lord for Bible reading and prayer will help you to be a better Christian. Developing the habit of attending soul winning on Saturday opportunities and Tuesday night opportunities will help us to be more sensitive to souls and understand the heart that God had when he came to this earth in the first place. Developing the habit of contributing financially to our specific ministries as well as giving ourselves faithfully to it will help us to be a better ministry worker. Maybe the reason why we're failing in our areas of responsibility and our titles in our lives, whether it's a parent or a ministry worker or a child or whatever it may be, is because we are not applying enough good habits that will help us to reach some good goals. Philippians 4:13-14, the Bible says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Forgetting those things which are behind, put bad habits aside. Reaching forth unto those things which are before, embrace the opportunity to create good habits. I press toward the mark for the prize. Pressing represents continually going forward, implementing good things over and over again until they become habits. What habits are we defined by this evening? If I were to ask your wife or your husband, your children, the things that they see you do over and over again, sure, they'll mention some bad things, and Lord willing, they'll mention good things as well. But predominantly speaking, what would the theme be? Well, you know, my mom's a good lady, but she's always yelling. My dad, he's a good man, and I'd love to spend more time with him if only he had more time. What are the habits that we are defined by? And if you don't like the habits that you're defined by, guess what? Let's create some new ones. Amen. You know, someone once said, if you want to be a different person, you've got to have different habits. Yep. If you want to be a different person, you've got to have different habits. In closing, those are two very powerful words in any message. One of the reasons why bad habits are easier to form than good habits is because bad habits cater to the flesh. I mentioned that already. Romans 7:19-20, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Listen, our sinful nature, it's strong. And especially when we feed it. And especially when we cater to it. We've got to develop a godly appetite for good things if we expect to have a productive 2018. Looking ahead to this time next year, will we be able to look back and say that as a result of the good habits that we implement into our lives, we are healthier, we are closer to God, we are better spouses, we are better parents? Or as a result of bad habits that we carry into 2018, will we regretfully say, another year wasted? There's just not hope in this marriage. I never thought I'd feel this distant from God. I encourage you, let's make efforts to do more good things so we can have more good habits. And by God's grace, let's have the best year of our lives this coming year. Let's pray this evening.